The Lord woke me up this week in the middle of the night. It was one of those things where I woke up at like 2:19, I believe, in the morning is what my phone said when I touched the button. And he started talking to me about a scripture that has been kind of familiar, but he just started emphasizing some things from it. So if you will, turn to Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to talk to you about when God gets in the way, because God sometimes gets in the way. But you turn to Proverbs 3. While you're turning to Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to read a little something to you. You've probably heard this before. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separate. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Most of us are familiar with this little piece from the Declaration of Independence. It's the first opening lines of it. And we heard it in school, and we've heard it read other times since then. I love our country. The United States is a free nation, freer than any other nation that I know of, at least. And it's a country where a man gets to do exactly what his wife tells him to do. Well, one of the things that was obvious in these words that were written here, a lot of people are chuckling, and it's true, but one of the things that was obvious in these words written in our Declaration of Independence was the acknowledgement of God. Did you notice that both paragraphs that I read acknowledged God? And if you read through the Declaration of Independence, he is acknowledged very strongly. Most people haven't really thought about this for a while, but you may remember or be aware that when we broke away from the British Empire, it was the greatest empire on the earth. And it can be argued, some will argue the Roman Empire, and others will argue the British Empire, and it can be argued for other empires, I suppose, too, but it can be argued that the British Empire was the greatest empire in the history of the world. There was a time when the sun never sat on the British Empire. They had colonies in every part of the globe. So Rome couldn't say that. Rome was still so powerful that it controlled all the known world, pretty much. And but we decided to make ourselves independent from one of the, if not the most powerful empire in history. That's a pretty crazy thing if you think about it. And maybe our forefathers were crazy to do that because they thought they were separated enough by a great ocean. But I'm not sure, because again, the oceans hadn't been a problem for the British Empire. They had been going everywhere, and they were so powerful. I believe that part of the reason why our founding fathers were able to succeed was because of their acknowledgement of God. And a lot of people have ignored the tremendous amount of God that is in our Declaration of Independence, in our Constitution, in so much of the writing of the founding fathers. God was acknowledged. Now, I am thankful that that acknowledgement, I believe, affected the way and made a way for our amazing republic. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 now, and starting with verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, everybody say, all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. We serve a God who can make a way when there is no way, when it appears impossible, when it actually is, if you will, impossible. We have a God who can make a way. He can take the crooked and complicated and straighten it out for us. We had I think there must have been a lot of people who thought, break away from the British government? No way! But a way was found. And it's been amazing to see what happened. And if you will, what miraculous things took place. And by the way, there was a lot of prayers that went up during the Revolutionary War, and a lot of things that seemed miraculous, and I believe were. God always wants to give people who acknowledge him a clear path. Now, each of us has a lot of ways. In all your ways, we got lots of ways. We have the way we work, and we have the way we handle money. We have the way we do marriage. We have the way we raise our family. We have the way that we communicate. We have lots of ways. Some have more ways than others. Some people are Facebook only. Some people are Twitter and Facebook. Some people are Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. We have a lot of ways. It's amazing that this nation has given us the freedom to live any way we want to. You won't find that in a lot of nations, that you can live just any way you want to. Sometimes it almost seems ridiculous, the way people live, because they're free to live any way they want to. In Acts 19:23, Christianity was actually referred to by the people of the day as the way. What we have is a way of life. A way of life. So, do we acknowledge him in all of our ways? Is it part of everything we do? Or is the way just in the background of the other ways that we live? And I guess I would say it this way. Do all my ways recognize his presence in the middle of them? We've actually been talking about stuff like this for a while, but this just popped out to me in such a profound way the other night, in the middle of the night. And I felt like God wanted me to share it with you. Because, see, God wants to get in your way. He wants to get in all your ways. And God likes being in the way that you do things. But not as an obstacle. He wants to be there as a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119:105. God wants to be there in that way. So again, is it obvious from what I say and do that God is in the way that I live? And in the way that I do what I do? It's a good question that I can ask myself. There are times, though, when God has to get in the way of what we're doing. And when this happens, we either stop doing something because it's suddenly the wrong way, or we change how we do it because we no longer think we can do it the way we've been doing it. A great example of this, by the way, is found in Numbers chapter 22. I'll read a little bit of this to you. This is about a guy named Balaam. And Balaam was a well-known and powerful prophet. And Balaam the prophet, well, he was asked by a group of Moabites whether he would come over and curse the Israelites. And it just so happened that somehow, even though he wasn't with the Israelites, he was a worshiper of God. and known as a prophet. So they wanted to get him to curse the Israelites because they saw what the Israelites were doing as they came into the land. No one could stand against the Israelites. So in verse 22, I'll just start there. It says, but God was angry because Balaam, was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. They had invited him to come curse Israel. He told him he probably couldn't do that, but they said, well, just come along anyway. And then he actually prayed about it, and God said, go with them. But then God was like, not very happy about the whole situation. Now, as he was riding on his donkey and two of his servants were with him, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, the donkey turned away and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. I just love this version because it keeps using the word way. And when the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path of the vineyards with a wall on the side and a wall on that side, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place there where there was no way to turn to the right hand or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his stick. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you strike me these three times? You'd think that that would have gotten the prophet's attention. I don't know. I've just always wondered about that. It was amazing to me. You know, when we get angry and we get frustrated, sometimes we just overlook the most obvious things. He was so frustrated that he doesn't stand back and go, whoa, talking donkey. He doesn't do that. He just argues with the donkey. That's amazing. What was that? Oh, I thought somebody said that. Then Balaam said to his donkey, that's amazing to me that he even started, I would have been stunned, but well, maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I'd have been just like Balaam. He was so mad. He said to the donkey, because you have made a mockery of me. If there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now. And the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you? And he said, no. He's like, donkey's reasoning with him. I'm just thinking, how long does it take Balaam before this starts to dawn on him what's really going on here? Maybe he talked to animals all the time. I don't know. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed all the way to the ground. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me. But the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I surely would have killed you just now and let her live. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it is displeasing to you, I will turn back. But the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but you shall speak only the word which I tell you. So Balaam went along with the leaders of the Moabites. Well, it says the leaders of Balak. Oh, that was the king. God got in the way. I think this man had to be pretty glad that God got in the way, because God was trying to keep him from doing something bad and doing something that wouldn't have been good for him either. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. Proverbs 14:12. When we read Proverbs 3, we get important information from it on whether or not we are doing a good job of acknowledging God. There's a simple question we can ask ourselves, and this is what I woke up with the other night. Are my paths straight? Are my paths straight? For example, do I constantly have financial issues? I'll pick on that one because that one might be a weakness in a lot of our lives. Do I have a problem keeping my finances straight? We're all going to go through seasons, but do I constantly have financial issues? keeping my finances straight? If so, is it possible that I haven't been acknowledging God in my finances? It's just a thought. Now somebody, I'm going to say more about this again at the end, but I don't want anybody to be condemned by what I'm about to say. This is not a matter of condemnation on anybody. At the risk of sounding a little offensive, let me just say this. Balaam was angry at the donkey, but it turns out that the donkey wasn't the dumb animal with the problem. I almost said the real word. I almost decided to use the King James Version to read the story of Balaam, because in the King James Version, he does not ride a donkey. He rides an animal. But sometimes I'm just behaving like a dumb animal in the way that I'm doing things, because I'm not recognizing that God isn't in the middle of what I'm doing, and I'm creating a problem for myself that I don't need. Does this make sense to anybody but me? God, here's the great part. God promises to make straight the paths of those who acknowledge Him. So if the path of life that I'm running has me running around like a chicken with my head cut off, perhaps the first thing I need to do is stop and see exactly where God is, because He's there. And acknowledging Him in the situation is probably step number one. A lot of times I'm trying to solve the problem, and the answer to the problem is not me solving it. How many of you have had problems you can't solve? Yeah. How many have had problems you can't solve this week? Yeah. Yeah. So if I'm not seeing where God is, that's part of the problem. And the next thing is to acknowledge Him and recognize Him and make Him recognizable around me while I'm at it. You know, bring God into the situation big time. To Balaam's credit, when he did get to the king of the Moabites, he told them he's not going to curse these people. And the guy took him to different mountains and said, well, curse him from here. Well, maybe if we go over there, you can curse him from over there. Well, how about if we go over here? You know, and he wanted to give him lots and lots and lots of money. And there's more to that story I'm not going to spend time this morning on. But I see people all the time who don't acknowledge God. And I have noticed that for a lot of those people, their way and their ways seem harder than those who do acknowledge God. It makes sense if you think about it. Those who have God in the middle of everything are cheating. If you put God in the middle of everything, then you have a distinct advantage over everybody else who's not. And they could, it's not really cheating, but you know, see what I'm saying? I'm just trying to make you think. Why is it cheating? Because the people who put God in the middle of everything, they don't have the responsibility of straightening things out. God said He would. What? Yeah. God said He would. That's what got me as I was laying there at 2:19 in the morning, and I had to get up, and I went downstairs and I started typing. Like, wait a minute. Sometimes I'm trying to fix everything. I'm going to tell him, Matt. This wasn't in my notes, but it happened this morning. Matt is so used to how we had everything set on the board, and he knew exactly what to do. And we were in here early today trying to get things set, and we would be asking John and Matt questions. But John rearranged the board. And Matt was... he was experiencing a tiny bit of anxiety because Matt was being asked questions by some of us, because we were all asking questions all at once. That's what you do. You know, you've all got your headsets on and you're all like, well, and all these questions are going, and Matt's trying to help John, and John and Matt are talking, but we're also talking to Matt and we're also talking to John. And Matt was under a certain amount of, it didn't feel good to him. He said his confession was, I'm not used to not being able to help. He felt that because he doesn't know exactly. John made a lot of changes and Matt couldn't be here for the change. John worked hard for two whole days, all day. And Matt's at work on the days that John's over here switching lines, and it's just crazy. You guys have, yeah, you don't want to know. It is just a lot. And so it was just, Matt's just like, I want to help and I can't. Why? Because men like to fix things. People like to fix things. It's really easy to expect that I can fix this somehow. And it's easier to just try to fix it than it is to acknowledge God right in the middle of it and say, oh God, I'm going to need your help. Help. Yeah. We acknowledge God. He straightens stuff out. That's how it's supposed to work. Yeah. A lot of people never get to the place where they ask for God's help or they acknowledge God, sometimes even Christians. And the reason that happens is because of what it says in Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in your own eyes. But see, I know stuff. Just so you'll know, I know stuff. I know how to do stuff. And I'm going to do my stuff because I know how this is how I do stuff. This is how I do it. Now, some of the women are especially enjoying this because it's more true of men, I think, than it is of women. And you're thinking, yeah, I know a lot of dumb men who think that way. And I'm one of them. I confess, you know, I know how to do this. It's really easy to know how and just do it. So instead of trusting the Lord, it's really easy to just kind of go with what you know, because you're already in that flow, you know? You go with the flow because the flow is what you know. Walking in what we know feels very natural. It feels very normal. It feels very familiar. It feels very comfortable. And sometimes walking in a way that acknowledges God jumps from the natural to the supernatural. Now, I'd like that to be more normal, but the truth of the matter is I'm still working on that in my life, and so are all people who love God. We're becoming more like Him, so we're moving from the natural to the supernatural, but it's really natural to incline ourselves to the natural. Is this making sense to anybody but me? Okay, well, I'm getting set free if none of you are. Hallelujah. Let me just give you a practical example. Has anybody noticed there's a bridge out in Defiance? Okay, what? Yeah. And I live in Sherwood Forest. Sometimes I dress like Robin Hood. No, just kidding. I live in Sherwood Forest. And, you know, we've lived there for over 10 years. And for almost 11. Well, 11 now, right? And for 10 of the 11 years, for the most part, we went to the north side across that bridge in the middle of town in almost every case. And so, you know, my route to the north side was out of Sherwood Forest onto Jefferson, up Jefferson to 2nd Street, 2nd Street over to Clinton, Clinton up to the north side. I know how to get there. And what's been really amazing is all the times that I got to the light at Jefferson, where now I have to turn and turn onto Downs over to, you know, Chief and Dietrich and then over to Baltimore and then turn left. That's the new route. But I'm on my way to the north side and I get to Jefferson and I boom right through the light. Right? Anybody besides me do that? Yes, you do. I know you do. And all of a sudden, I'm just going down, you know, and sometimes I get all the way downtown. Yeah, it's happened a couple of times. I get downtown, I start seeing the detour signs. Oh man, I'm going to the north side. I already got. But you see, I'm going my way because that's my way. That's the way I go. I'm comfortable that way. I'm used to that way. That's the way it's always worked before. I'm on autopilot. Sometimes I don't even think. And that's what this passage of Scripture is about. If I'm not acknowledging God in something, He has no obligation to straighten things out for me. If I find that my direction in life is a mess, I might want to go, this mess, I probably got myself here, and He says if I acknowledge Him, He'll straighten out my mess. That might be a good idea. Now, while my route to the north side now takes me, you know, west almost out here to the church, sometimes, in fact, a couple of times a day, downs to Dietrich is a bad idea. What's that? 7 and 3. Yeah. It can be a bad idea at certain times of day because you got to go across that triple railroad track, and everybody in town seems to be going to the north side at certain times of day, 7 and 3. Yeah, it can be bad. It can be pretty bad. So have any of you ever had a GPS? Do you use your GPS, very many of you? I, when they first came out, I tried to use it. I remember I was in Cleveland one time, and I ended up in the middle of a field. GPS took me this. We were over there for a Jesus Culture event, and I took Michelle. Remember Michelle from California who stayed with us for a while? And come on. Name, come back to me. I can see the face. And who stayed with us first at the house? Yeah, Kim. Sorry, Kim. If Kim's listening, she's going to be like, you couldn't remember my name. Anyway, Kim and Michelle went with me to see Jesus Culture over in Cleveland area. Actually, way over that direction. And they were like, use your GPS. It'll be easier. Yeah, so much for that. We ended up in a field in the middle of nowhere. But I finally got us there, you know, worked it out. My son is a big GPS user, and that's because he lived down close to D.C., and down there, you know, the GPS is I got to give Google credit. They're really very careful down in that area. If there's an accident or something, they start rerouting. I mean, the GPS will reroute you, and I was like, yeah, well, that's important down there. It's not really important up here. They moved up here, and they were meeting his mother-in-law and father-in-law someplace, and they jumped in the car at the same time as they did, and he flipped on his GPS to get to this place, and they arrived 15 minutes before their in-laws. They were only driving 30 minutes away, and they arrived 15 minutes before their in-laws. Because the GPS rerouted him, the in-laws knew exactly where they were going. Exactly. They knew the way. They'd been that way a dozen times. Except for they didn't know the bridge was out on the way they were going. Another one of those situations. So sometimes I have to reroute myself. This is why I just encourage people to just constantly put on your GPS, your God positioning system. Just acknowledge Him. Just be aware of Him. Just say to yourself, you know, it's all right. I may think I'm comfortable, and the GPS of God may lead me exactly the way I'm going, and that'll be good. But sometimes God's going to interrupt. It's been said that the cross sometimes is the intersection of where I was going to go and where God wants me to go. And that the two don't always match. And sometimes God's got a plan, and it's time for you to change and go a different direction, even though 99.999% of the time, the direction you're going is fine. But every once in a while, God intervenes. So I've learned, and I'm learning, that I need to adjust my way. Sometimes the Spirit is redirecting my steps. And what He wants me to do is what's most efficient for the kingdom, even though it doesn't look like it's going to work to me. Have you ever been in that position? There's no way this is going to work. And then God makes a way. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it will be health and strength to your bones. So as I finish today, I want to make sure that you hear my heart. This isn't meant to be a message of accusation or to try to get us to face our failures. This is a message of analyzation. If I could somehow acknowledge Him on my way to work, on my way into the building that I work in, if I can somehow acknowledge Him as I dial that number that I've got to call, or type that email that I've got to type, or wait on that customer that I have to wait on, or run that machine, or whatever way I'm in, if I can be the one to acknowledge Him, if I can be the one to acknowledge Him everywhere I go, He will straighten my paths. And they may not look straight, but they might still be rerouted to the best route. Just like my son was rerouted to a better route than his in-laws, who knew exactly where they were going, and he gets there 15 minutes before them on a 30-minute drive. Well, less than 30-minute drive. Whatever it was, however the math works out on that. So I want to be the one to acknowledge Him. And I want to encourage you to be the one to acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him when you're cooking. Acknowledge Him when you're cleaning. Acknowledge Him when you're doing anything you can do. And the more you acknowledge Him, the more normal, I think, the more straight the paths of life will take you. Amen?